so much. It's a little bit noisy. Is anyone cold back there? Or is anyone hot? You're under these fans. Well, these can go off. There's nobody under them. It's pretty cool today, isn't it? Really nice. Oh, the altar fan. Well, you decide if the deities, the pujaris can decide that. Hare Krishna. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudiriye. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada's disciples, the translators, commentators, and our spiritual masters. Nashta Prayesha Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktim Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Suddenly it's very quiet in here. Thank you for turning it off. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Give me 1 second. I think 13, right? And 14. Yes, I know. Okay. I'll give you in a second. On this 28th day of September 2016, in Alachua, Florida, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation commentary by the disciples of the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Canto 11, chapter 3, verse number 13. Vayuna vita gandhabhu salilat vaya kalpate salilam tadrita rasam jyotish vaya pakalpate vayuna vita gandhabhu salilat vaya kalpate salilam tandrita rasam jyotish vayopakalpate vayuna vita gandhabhu salilat vaya kalpate salilam tandrita rasam jyotish vayopakalpate. Vayuna vita gandhambhu salilat vaya kalpate salilam tandrita rasam jyotish vayopakalpate. Vayuna vita gandhambhu salilat vaya kalpate salilam tadrita rasam jyotish vayopakalpate vayuna vita gandhambhu salilat vaya kalpate salilam tadrita rasam Jyotishvayopakalpate. Vaishnavis. Vayuna Radagandhabhu. Salilat Vayakalpate. Salilam Tantidarasam. Jyotishvayopakalpate. Vayuna Radagandhabhu. Salilat Vayakalpate. Salilam Tantidarasam. Jyotishvayopakalpate. Vayuna Radagandhabhu. Salilat Vayakalpate. Salilam Tantidarasam. Jyotishvayopakalpate. Okay, I'll just read this word by word. You can read along silently. Vayuna, by the wind. Vritta, deprived. Gandha, of its quality of aroma. Bhuhu, the element earth. Salilat Vayakalpate, becomes water. Salilam, water. Tat, by that, the same element, wind. Vritta rasam, deprived of its quality of taste. Jyotish Vaya Upakalpate, becomes fire. Translation. Deprived of its quality of aroma by the wind, the element earth is transformed into water. And water, deprived of its taste by that same wind, is merged into fire. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam gives several descriptions of the material creation by which air is expanded from ether, fire from air, water from fire, and earth from water. Now, in the reverse order, the creation is wound up. Thus, earth merges back into the water from which it came, and water similarly merges into fire. We'll read the next one also. Vritarupam tu tamasa. Vayau jyoti paliyate. Vritasparsho prakashena. Vayu nabasiliyate. Kalatmana vritagunam. Naba atmani liyate. Fire, deprived of its form of darkness, dissolves into the element air. When the air loses its quality of touch by the influence of space, the air merges into that space. When space is deprived of its tangible quality by the Supreme Soul in the form of time, space merges into false ego in the mode of ignorance. So there's no purport here, but those are the two verses I was assigned. So, Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmidatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So, just to put everything in context here, we're not going to engage in 45 minutes of annihilation katha. But the context is that this is the first of the yogendras answering the questions of Maharaj Nimi or Videha. And first thing he wanted to know was, what is the material energy? What is Maya like? And so there's been a summary description of that. If you recall, that it's all created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And for two reasons. The reason is why this world is created, and we have these bodies with senses and mind and everything, is one, so that we can, again, try to fulfill our material desires separate from Krishna, but two, so that we can use these senses and this world in the service of Krishna and get out of this world. There's actually a twofold reason for the creation. And so he's described that, and now he's describing how the creation is being wound up. So I thought it would be interesting to turn to Canto 12, Chapter 4, which describes four different kinds of annihilation. And within, and then at the end of that chapter, there's a very wonderful verse which we'll share with you, and we'll go from there. So the four different kinds of annihilation: Naimittika, Prakritika, Atyantika, and Nitya. There's four different kinds of annihilation. One of them is going on all the time, from moment to moment. As our body changes, we're being destroyed. Everything, not just our body, but every macro unit of the material energy is constantly going through this change, and therefore that's called destruction, constant destruction. Now, the first one described in chapter 12, Canto 12, chapter 4, is the naimittika, means occasional annihilation, which happens at the end of each of Brahma's days when he sleeps and everything is destroyed all the way up to his planet. And it also everyone dies except for those who are on Brahma's planet and Brahma himself. So it's quite devastating. But he lives for such a long, long time. So each day there's this annihilation going on. And then after the two halves of his life is finished, Dviparada is called. Then there's a Prakritika annihilation. And this is what's commonly known as the annihilation. Everything is destroyed, even Brahma. And it's described in detail how, again, this reverse process, everything is merging into the Mahatattva, into the Pradhan. And finally, Brahma's whole, everything is destroyed, all of the different elements dissolve into their constituent parts, and there's nothing manifest. Pradhan is the unmanifest condition of this material world. Nothing is mixed. And so, and that merges back into the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we get Mahavishnu lying there with everything simply merged. So, and that, you know, lasts for a long, long time. One breath of Mahavishnu, which is said to be a lifetime of Brahma. But each Brahma has there's many different Brahmas, many different universes. It's very complicated. And then, of course, the creation begins again, and gradually everything is manifest, and we pick up where we left off and try again to fulfill our material desires. So, and then there's this Atyantikam, which is the Atyantikam is the destruction of everything. That's when there's nothing involved at all. So how do we deal with this? What's the need for us to know about this? There's so much detail. There's several different descriptions of creation and destruction in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it should impel us, it should inspire us, motivate us to want to get out of this destruction. We each have our little mini, we have this constant destruction going on, nitya, but then there's also our own individual apocalypse, every birth that we have. In other words, we don't have to worry about the great destruction. We are everything that we, in the material, for gross materialists, everything you put your faith in, all of the strategies to try to postpone the end, right? All of that ultimately fails. And there you are lying there or maybe flying out of a car or whatever, whichever way it happens. And suddenly you're separated. You're painful. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. It's a great deal of fear involved. And there you go. You know, you've left your body. And then the first thing that happens after you leave the body, what do you think? I'm not dead. What happened? There's my body lying there. I'm floating up looking, you know. Have you ever talked to this lady in L.A. who had this near-death experience? I'm not going to give names. And she describes what it was like. See, there's some car or something, and she saw herself lying on the curb for a few seconds, you know, and she was out of the body. She had realization of it. So for the materialist, this is the most wrenching, you know, catastrophe, because you created a certain life for yourself. It may be very simple or it may be very elaborate, depending on your karma. But whatever it is, mrityu sarvaharaschaham, Krishna takes it all away as death. Everything, all of your relationships, all of your pets, all of your money, you know, your children, everything It's gone. So, and ultimately it happens to everyone. I mean, this description in chapter 4 of the 12th canto, I advise you to read it. It's hair-raising, the details of how that fire comes from, you know, from Ananta below, and from the sun is expanding, and everything is getting hot. It's all drying up. Everyone is starving. There's nothing to eat. They're eating each other, and finally everything's burning up, and you're in the middle of this holocaust, you know? And then the rains come. Rains, you know, huge columns of water as big as elephants, you know, coming down constantly for years, flooding everything. You know, if the whole universe fills up with this water, do we really want to go through that again? Do we want to postpone our sadhana? Stretch it out? The whole idea that I get from all of this is that this should really make us sober. Like when Krishna, janma mrityu jada vyadi dukkha dosha anarsha. This is the real face of the material energy. It's not meant for our pleasure. Dukkali yamashashvatam. I was reading, this is one of my favorite verses, one of the prayers of Pallad. So much knowledge there, wonderful. And he's describing in a few lines, three lines, he describes the nature of this material world. And so he says, yasmat priya priyabhi yoga sa yoga janma shokagnina sakalayona shadayamana dukkaushadam tadapi dukkam atadhyaham bhuman bhamami vadame tadadasa yoga. So he's describing there, this is the essence of the life after life, I'm burning in a fire of lamentation. And the cause is very simple. We've all experienced it. The things that are dear to us, right? So many things, beginning with the body, but many other things, extension of the body, are sooner or later taken away from us. Or they become the opposite, such as the body, right? When you get a serious disease, the very body, which was the source of happiness and pleasure, becomes the source of pain. So, priya, vyoga, the things that are dear become taken away. The things that are painful, that you fear, that you hate, are forced upon you eventually. Old age, disease, death, your enemies, right? Whatever. There's always something. So this is the essential thing in every form of life, but especially in human life, we're aware of it, causes great anxiety. So he calls it shokagina. And it's not just one life. Sakala yonashu, in all lives, in all different kinds of forms of life. Daihyamana, burning in this fire of lamentation of suffering. So then, in the human form especially, we have all kinds of strategies to counteract the dukkha. Right? These are called dukkaushadam. But alas, dukkaushadam tadapi dukkam. The very means of counteracting one misery causes this misery or more misery. Right? Do I need to mention climate change? It's the long form of this, though. So this is the nature. And then he says something very interesting. Atadhyaham. But my consciousness is atad, just the opposite. I'm thinking I'm having fun. Or in a little while, everything will be all right, right? This is the nature of material life. That the things that are objectively suffering or sources of suffering, and we were just discussing in previous class how it says in one of the verses, and you suffer from the beginning to the end. Well, come on, you know, there's a little bit of happiness, right? There's peak experiences, there's all of these things. How can you say there's no happiness? And so the answer is in this line. The dukkaushadam, or in this case, the sources of happiness, are also sources of misery. Krishna says right in the Bhagavad Gita. So, if it's a source of misery, then by the logic of the Bhagavatam, it's also miserable. So anyway, that's the situation. So what's the solution? Fourth line. He's speaking to Nrisimhadeva. He's sitting right in front of him. Bhumam bhamami vadameta vadasa yoga. Please, this soul is wandering on all these species and suffering so much, speak to me, instruct me in the science of devotional service. You know, he's giving us the example. Pallad is already, naivod vijay padadarachya, I've already crossed beyond himself. He doesn't have this problem, but he's praying, giving us prayers to utter. So what happens at the end of this 12th chapter? 12th canto, 4th chapter, excuse me. There's this beautiful verse about how one can cross over the very difficult to cross over ocean of birth and death. So I'll share with that. This is 12:4:40. Maybe you can bring it up. This is a really sweet verse. After all of this hair-raising description of the annihilations, and he has two verses at the end. 12:4:40. Got it. Okay, here we go. Sangsara sindu mati dustata mutti tisho. One line at a time, okay, Krishna? Nanyak plavo bhagavatak purushottamasya. Lila katavasa nishevana mantarena. Pum som bhavin vividadu kadavadi tasya. For a person who is suffering in the fire of countless miseries and who desires to cross the insurmountable ocean of material existence, there is no suitable boat except that of cultivating devotion to the transcendental taste for the narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's pastimes. So it's almost like they say, you know, you should end with something sweet. So this whole chapter, which is very sobering about annihilation, ends with this beautiful verse. There's one more verse in the same mood. So how to cultivate? The idea is to cultivate the taste for hearing Krishna's pastimes and name and qualities and form. In other words, hearing Krishna Katha. That's the only boat. There's no other boat across this dangerous ocean. So I wanted to share with you also a very well-known verse in this regard. I've got everything queued up here, hopefully. 1:2:17. And then we're going to read most of this purport, since we haven't really had much of a purport yet. You know what? You all know it. Shinvatam Sukata Krishna. Shinvatam Sukata. Punya Shavana Kirtanaha. Ridyantaksto Hyabhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma or Super Soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Now, just before we read this purport, this is part of the whole flow. In other words, we are coming back again and again to try to enjoy this world, again and again experiencing our own little annihilation, and ultimately the big annihilations, only because of our desire to try to fulfill material desire, sense gratification. That is the reason why. And here, the point is, he cleanses the heart of material desire. And what does he replace it with? Spiritual desire. Desire to serve him. Attraction to Krishna. Messages of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, are non-different from him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshastika, declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that he has endowed his innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound. But unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. Who can say what that means is of developing that taste? Raise your hand from this section. Come on, Brian. How do we develop the taste for hearing? Shushu sho shudadanasya vasa deva kataruchi syan mahatsavya vikrapunyatitin shayna. Very important verse. By serving the pure devotee, serving the great devotees, this is how you develop a taste for hearing and chanting, and then you develop a sword of remembrance, which cuts off all of these knots in the heart. We just It's in the previous two verses. The Lord is reciprocally, Prabhupada says here, it is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Now, that's an important understanding. It's right here. Are we going through the purport here? Yeah. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men and women want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. So, and of course it goes on, this famous section, in which by hearing, Krishna helps from within to clear away the abhudras, or the anarthas within the heart. It says right here. And what is the result of that? One becomes nishta. This is all described in that famous ladder, Rupa Goswami's ladder from faith to love, Shraddha to Prema. So, by getting some interest, preliminary faith, one comes into the association of devotees. And what's going to happen? Satamba Sangan Mamavi Sambhada. One is going to hear from sincere devotees Krishna Katha. And that Krishna Katha is purifying, because it's Krishna himself. Krishna is all pure and he's purifying. And by any kind of contact with Krishna, especially through sound, transcendental sound, purifies the heart of what? This is explained, one becomes fixed, and one becomes fixed in the mode of goodness. And all of the lower modes and their results, such as lust, and greed, and anger, they become diminished proportionally to your absorption in transcendental sound and your purification. And this precedity, remember the whole beginning of this series was how could the soul become precedity, fully satisfied. And so he's describing the final process here. And then, evam basanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yoga taha bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate. So, prasanna manaso. Now, prasanna has different implications. It's blissful, happy, pleased, and also very, very clear. The consciousness is clear now, prasanna. And by the process of serving Krishna, chiefly by hearing and chanting. One gets realized knowledge of Bhagavat Tattva, of the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his energies, our relationship, everything. And mukta sangha sajayate. This is real mukti. Mukta sangha, you're through with association of the material elements and through with attraction to the material elements, as described here. Mukta sangha sajayate. You're victorious. Krishna's empowered. Through Krishna's power, you become able to. And then, all the knots in the heart are cut asunder, all the karma is finished, all the doubts are completely eradicated, and you see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart. So Krishna reveals himself. So this is the progression of a purification through the sound, and that is synonymous with liberation. That even in this lifetime, iha yasya hare dase, karma namana sagara nikalashapti vastasu jivan muktasa uchite. Prabhupada always gives this definition of liberation even in this lifetime. The word iha here actually means activities. All the activities of one's senses, voice, mind, when they're engaged in the service of Krishna, then one should be considered a jivan mukta, a liberated soul, even in this lifetime, even in this world. So, but that's not our goal. I mean, that's a byproduct, really, you know, of Krishna consciousness. But all of this description of creation and destruction of this world, this is important for us to know. This is part of Sambandha Gyan. How did we get here? What's going on when we're here? What is this world? We were discussing, was it the last class here or in Gainesville? I think it was in Gainesville. Yesterday, back and forth. How this world is actually not real in the ultimate sense. It's real in the sense that this is one of Krishna's energies. But all of our ideas about it, all of our absorption in it, is really as real as a dream. If someone is dreaming, he's having a real dream. But it's not what he's thinking it is. He's thinking the dream is real. That is what real illusion is, you see? So that's why it is said that this world, Prabhupada says in the beginning of the second canto, this world exists only because of our attachment to it. It exists for us individually because of our different attachments. Otherwise, it won't impact us in the same way. We'll see it as something else, what it really is, Krishna's energies. And remember that phrase, when you see Krishna's pastimes happening all everywhere, then you're truly liberated. In other words, what is in Krishna's pastimes? I've just been reading about the destruction. That's his pastimes too. It's going through his agents. The creation and the maintenance and destruction is one of Krishna's pastimes. It's not the all-attractive pastime that's going on in Goloka Vrindavan. But it's important for us to realize that that's Krishna's Leela as well. And we can see it, and when we can see it that way, rather than trying to squeeze out some kind of material pleasure from this material world, that's the illusion, and that's what keeps us bound here. So, this is the import, because you want to see how the context is going. The next section of the third canto, we're back against the 11th canto, third chapter, text 13, 14. In a few verses, he'll be finished with this description. And then what's the next question? How do I get out of it? Nimi's asking, let me see, please describe the material energy to me. And then the next question is, what is the best way in which the soul can get out of it? And we have a whole series of verses. And after a few verses, you know what we have? Tasman gurum papadjeta jigyeshu shre uttama. Shabde parechanishnam brahmanyupa shamashayam. He keeps circling back to the same ideas. He describes in three verses how there's absolutely no enjoyment. This is coming up in the next few days. I'll be gone, but you'll see next week. These verses are coming. That there's no happiness in this material world. Men and women, male and females of all species get together in order to enjoy. But we should know that in order to, two things, to increase the happiness and to decrease the misery. But we should know that ultimately they get just the opposite. The pleasure is all gone and the misery is all gone. So maybe we can go to heaven, he says. Now actually then he has a verse about what you need in order to maintain. Well, you need money. That's the first thing to maintain, right? So he says, very difficult to attain and virtual death for the soul. You'll read that in the next few days. I forget the Sanskrit. I memorized this one then. So, okay, well, this isn't going to work. Let me go to the heavenly planets. You know, that's the other alternative for the materialist, right? Let me see if I can really elevate. Not just go to San Diego or Alacho, but really get up there. So then he says, forget it. There's just rivalry up there just like down here. You remember what happened in the sixth canto and the eighth canto? These huge wars between the demons and the demigods. The demigods got exiled for a while. We just had Vamana, right? You're enjoying up there, and whoa, the demons are coming. Oh, let's have a big fight. Then they have a huge war, which is horrific in the description. You know, it's no fun to be in a war. You know, the enjoyment is over while the war is going. And then, okay, they win the first battle, and then Bali gets stronger, they worship Bhrigupati and whatever. And then they take over, then they're exiled, then it's even more misery, right? This is a heavenly planet, and people are trying to go up with karma kanda. So his point is, in three verses, he's describing how nowhere nowhere in this material world, let's speak of the lower planets, but even the higher planets on this planet, there's really no place of peace and happiness. Right? Nowhere. And so then he says, Tasmat gurum jidyashu shreya. If you're interested in the ultimate good, shreya uttamam, then you have to approach a realized soul, who is what? Saturated, completely realizes in the shastra, and is completely detached from all material attraction. These two aspects, and realized in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, shabdeh parechana snapam brahmatma shamashya. So Prabhupada quotes this verse 1,000 times. So this is the only way out. And then the next thing it describes the process of devotional service. And you know what happens after a few verses, I'll tell you. Then he says, well, what's the real means? You know? Back again to hearing and chanting. It keeps coming up. Paraspadanu katadham, pavanam bhagavadisha, mito ratiya mitas tushta, nivrita mitaratmanaha. Devotees get together, just like this. Satam pasangam, mamaviya sambhu. And paraspadanu katadham, they're mutually glorifying the Lord. You know? Babu, give me a good shloka, like that. Or just, you know, let's sit down and read Krishna book. And Pavanam Bhagavadisha, what are they doing? They're hearing and chanting the purifying glories of the Lord. Pavanam Bhagavadisha. And then what's the result? Mitoratir. They develop loving relation between themselves. And Mitas Tushtir, mutual satisfaction. And mutually they enhance their detachment from the material world. And then the next verse has a very famous line, which I think many of you know. Smaran Kakspadayantascha. Mito gaugahadam harim. Bhaktya sanjatiha bhaktya. I forget the next line. Then the hair stand on it. That's the translation of the last line. So he's saying, thus, remembering Krishna and reminding each other of Krishna. Isn't that the essence of what you want from your association with devotees? Remembering and reminding of Krishna, who is Oga Oga Haram. He takes away all the vast mass of sin that's accumulated in the heart. Oga Oga. Oga means like a big flood, and Oga is sin, but he is Haram. Oga Oga Haram Harim. And thus, this bhakti, which is sadhana bhakti, getting together, hearing, and chanting, produces bhava bhakti. Bhaktya sanjatiya bhaktya. No other means can produce it. Bhakti produces bhakti. And then the result is various symptoms of ecstasy appear, described in the few verses. So, that's the next section. So after understanding what material life is, we should be really eager to get out of it. And then read the next one, and he's going to describe the process of getting out. They never leave you high and dry, you know. There's so many books written by the materialists describing the horrors of this material world. There's a whole series of books now about climate change. This one fellow has studied Arctic ice his whole life. Yeah, what is that? Arctic ice. I'm sorry, not only Arctic ice, but Antarctic ice also. So that's his specialty. Well, he has a lot to say about, you know, how ice is disappearing from the Arctic, you know. So, you know, the result of that is a feedback loop. When there's not the white ice reflecting the sunlight, then there's just blue water up there, more heat gets absorbed into the ocean. And there's a real disaster coming, and that is all of these, what do they call them? I forget. The methane gas is trapped and frozen in the seabed. So if the ocean gets warmer, then that's going to come out en masse. It's like, you know, 1,000 gigatons of this stuff. And it's much worse than carbon dioxide. And this is all the scientists speaking, you know, but they're shouting the alarm. This is the book this guy's written. It'll all come out, big burps, you know, of this stuff will come out into the atmosphere and create even more warming, which will melt more ice. You see the feedback loop. This is going on. So this is part of, but to spend all your life on it? So their solution is, oh, we have to stop taking the oil out, you know, which you're not going to do. You're not going to leave the coal and the oil, you know. So it's very frustrating. But we have the solution to it. We have the solution to global warming and every other problem, you know. And that is Krishna consciousness, right? How does that work? Well, first of all, on a personal level, because it's all on a, there's two levels. Just like Lord Chaitanya had two tracks. Right? Why he came. He came for us. He came to spread Krishna consciousness. But his internal reason, something that is prime reason, was to relish Krishna bhakti from the point of the devotee and the supreme devotee, Radharani. You know the whole story from the beginning of the CC. So we have our own personal strategy for combating the results of global warming and any other thing that can throw at us. And that is bhakti. Yeah, through bhakti. Becoming pure devotee and getting liberated. So this is our, even if we die tomorrow, if we're fixed, you know, we can go back to Godhead. That's our solution, personally. But also, that solution, just like the mukti is a byproduct of bhakti, curing global warming is a byproduct. Just on the level of becoming a vegetarian and, you know, ending all the cow slaughter, that's a huge benefit, you know, a decrease in global warming. You know that, don't you? A lot of people say if people would all become vegans, they have not a tinge of devotional service, but they can see the, you know, add and subtract. What to speak of, and this is the real thing, decreasing the fire of material desire, living simply, rather than this huge artificial technological society that is sucking out the resources and poisoning the earth. That's the real revolution, if, you know. So the idea is that this person, you know, and many others writing in all different kinds of ways, there's like 20 different ways that the world will come to an end within the next 50 years. And I don't want to go through them all. But that's the Bhagavatam telling us about the annihilation, Janma Mritya Jadavyadi, right? But the Bhagavatam always gives you the solution to it. They are dukkha aushadham tadabhidukkham. Their solutions are just making it worse. So this is what we should get, the whole picture. Yes, we want to know what is this material energy? You know, how is it created? How is it destroyed? But then, having soberly understood it, we should be even more enthusiastic to practice devotional service with determination and kicking out all of these, you know, the siren songs of enjoyment in this material world, which is, you know, slowing our progress, you know, and making it dangerous that we'll come back again. Do we really want to see that last annihilation with all that, the heat and the rain, you know, and the horror? Even just to see more of Kali Yuga, even just to see this election that's going on. I mean, already it's become a nightmare, hasn't it? Anyway, I don't want to get, you know, mundane about it, but that all of this that happens on our personal level and on the social level and on the cosmic level, which is convince us there's no place of happiness and peace here, should give us impetus to practice very, very seriously. Don't waste time. Turnam yateta nabateda namrityayava nikshe sai vishaya kabasara vitaksa. Prabhupada quotes this verse all the time. Because the human form of life is so rare, we've gone through so many different lives and forms of life to get to this form of life. It's very, very rare and useful because it can give you the artadam. It can give you the value, the ultimate value of liberation, go back to Godhead. But it's temporary, like all other lives. Therefore, it says, turnam, quickly strive, don't waste any time, for the ultimate good, nikshayasaya. Because death is right behind you, anumritya yava. So, and we've enjoyed all varieties of sense gratification before, chewing the chewed. We've done that, been there, done that already. So this lifetime we should dedicate wholly and solely to advancing in devotional service. So I'm going to, if we have a few questions and discussion, then I'd like to read you a poem. After all, we read the verse about cultivating desire for hearing Krishna's Leela. Mother Agatmika, can we give her the wireless mic?
So we understand that we are presently also in the golden age
of Lord Chaitanya, yes.
Yes. Now, are we to understand that the progress of Kali Yuga, as you're describing the horrors, you know, has been slowed down by this golden age? But I kind of thought maybe there would be like a gap.
Good luck.
Yeah.
No.
So it's basically it would be much worse
Well, yeah, I mean, we're kind of at the beginning of the Golden Age. You're talking about the 10,000 years, right?
It was inaugurated when Lord Chaitanya inaugurated the Sankirtan movement.
Yeah. But even, you know, just see what happened, you know, right after he appeared. I mean, it kind of got eclipsed for a while, right? And then came back, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know. And now it's on the rise through Prabhupada's efforts and everything is spread all over the world. But realistically, there's just a few of us. Even if there are, I don't think there are a million serious devotees yet on this planet. 16 round, 4 regular principal devotees. So it's happening. It's happening. But that doesn't mean that, Kali Yuga is not going to progress. I mean, at a certain point, obviously, there'll be an obvious change. And we see some changes now. Some people attribute the rise of the interest in vegetarianism a lot to, you know, the devotees preaching and distributing, what? Has it been 7 million higher tastes? I don't know. So, you know, going out and preaching that. Whatever it may be. But that's not something for us personally to count on, you know. Well, I'll be okay if I come back because, we're right in the middle of the 10,000 years. Prabhupada never said that. He said, make the one lifetime, right? He said, do your business and get out, you know. Now, of course, for a devotee, pure devotee follower of Lord Chaitanya in the line, the desire to preach is there. You know, desires to help others, that overcomes your desire to go back to Godhead. And ultimately, whatever Krishna wants, right? He may want me back there, or he may want me here, however he wants, whatever's for his pleasure. Okay. So we can have that aspiration, to continue serving wherever they want us to serve. And the movement will continue to expand. But still, in order to be continuously and properly fired up about, you know, sadhana and wanting to go back to Godhead, reading these things and reading fifth canto, you know, and becoming very sober about life in this material world, that's why it's such a big part of the Bhagavatam. And as we know, Lord Chaitanya would hear all parts of the Bhagavatam. I heard that he really liked to hear Dhruva Maharaj. You wouldn't expect that. You know, the pastime of Dhruva, those chapters. So, yes, we have faith that it is 10,000 years, but just how that's going to play out and how that's going to counteract the evils of this Kali and how quick it's going to happen, we don't know. All we can do is chant and hear, preach, and leave it up to Krishna.
Well, I just wanted to make a short comment. That lovely class as always. But I also wanted to mention there's a devotee, Indian devotee. I think he might be a medical doctor, but he's Dr. Sahadev Das, and he has a website, Cowism, and it's like got so many. He's got free downloads of all of his books. There are about 40 of the books, and one of them that I've read, I bought a hard copy of already. I bought one for my mother and sent it to her, but it's called Cow and Humanity Made for Each Other, and he's a Prabhupada disciple, and it's all got so many lovely pictures, so many lovely stories, so many, it's just like packed full of like wonderful nectar.
We accept that ad. Cowism. Google Cowism.
Yes.
any other question or comment on the side? So, be proud. Pran here? Yeah, wait till the end. He assures it's a one-minute story, so start now.
On Janmashtami night, Shripad Ramanujacharya gave the story that on Janmashtami night, there was a heavy hurricane, and like a heavy storm. So no electricity and nobody could come to the temple to celebrate.
This was here this year?
No. 700 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay.
No electricity, none. But somehow or other, the intense devotee, they could not stay at home. In the middle of the night, Lord will appear. So they went, made their way to be in the temple. And then one devotee started singing about the glory of the Lord's beautiful face, beautiful body. And then another devotee came and said, "Wow, you're the only one singing the glory." He said, join, try to find some. and the third person came, and the fourth person came, and the fourth person says, how do you know that this naham tishtami vaikunthe joginam hridayeshu va tatra tishtami narada jatra gayanti mad bhakta? How do you know actually it is true? All of a sudden, rumble voice.
I am hearing everything you all are discussing.
Sounds like a Disney movie or something.
Yeah. And then he made that statement that we should have a firm faith. Whenever there is a glorification of the Lord among the devotees, Lord is present.
Yes. And you can often feel when the kirtan really gets going, you can feel the energy. Okay, should I read my little poem now? Okay. This is called the Pratama Kunja Vihari Ashtaka. This is from Stabamala by Rupa Goswami. I'll give you the first verse in Sanskrit. It's the same meter as 1035, the Gopi's songs, you know, one of the Yugal Geets. But he adds rhyme too. Inna nila mani mandula varna kulla nipa kusa manchita karna Krishna labha dakashoda sihari sundaro jayut kunja bihari. So there's eight of those. His smooth complexion conquers sapphires, stunning to the eye. Kadamba blooms with fragrance full on each ear gently lie. His beauty is greatened by his chest, where Gunja necklace stays. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. Now that one you can repeat. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. Chakora longing for the moon of Radha's radiant face. A thief purloining patience from the cowherd's wives apace. His expert rhythmic dancing winning all the gopis' praise. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. When Indra's sacrifice he stopped, he stole the deva's pride by playfully uplifting Giri Govardhan to hide his friends and cows beneath the hill for 7 nights and days. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. Heartwarming, warbling melodies adorn his flute, which sings of Cupid's fest. To him, unending happiness it brings. The parrot pair, his loving pastimes, never tire to praise. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. His glistening garments steal the splendid glow by gold possessed. A perfect peacock plume bedecks his most exquisite crest. Vrindavan's radiant girls rejoice to see his loving ways. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. Most fragrant sandal paste anoints his limbs so slightly blue. A golden belt adorns his handsome waist. He's likened to an elephant bound by the ropes of Radha's winning ways. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. His fulgent forehead glows with golden tilak he's applied. His playful pastimes swing his champa garland side to side. He meets the gorgeous gopis for their rendezvous in caves. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. Their work ignored, the coward's wives are fairly paralyzed when dancing glances strike them from the corners of his eyes. Ecstatic hero setting love-mad Radha's heart ablaze. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. All glories to the Lord who in Vrindavan's forest plays. Okay, now do you want to hear the benefit of hearing? The pastimes that the Lord enjoys in Brudget's sylvan bowers enhance this octave's beauty and pour forth pure nectar showers. Whoever hears these verses soon acquires saintly traits and serves his lustrous lotus feet with love that ne'er abates. Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Bhava. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Everyone stunned the next? Okay.